History doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. This insight forms the foundation of Ray Dalio's exploration of why nations rise and fall in predictable patterns. Drawing on 500 years of historical data, Dalio reveals that the most significant force shaping our world is the struggle to make, take, and distribute wealth and power. These struggles unfold in predictable cycles that have repeated throughout human civilization. While humanity's overall trajectory points upward through learning and adaptation, we move through this evolution like a corkscrew, cycling through periods of prosperity and decline while gradually advancing. What's fascinating is how consistently these patterns emerge across different eras and cultures. When we look at charts tracking GDP per person over centuries, we see not just upward movement, but also regular oscillations that follow remarkably similar sequences. What makes a nation powerful? Dalio identifies 8 interconnected factors that rise and fall together: education, competitiveness, innovation, economic output, trade dominance, military strength, financial center status, and reserve currency position. These elements form a self-reinforcing cycle. Strong education systems produce innovations that drive economic growth and trade advantages, which fund military power and establish financial dominance. The most successful nations throughout history, from the Dutch Empire to the British Empire to American hegemony, followed this pattern. But here's the paradox. Success plants the seeds of decline. As citizens grow wealthy, they become less competitive compared to hungrier nations. Prosperity breeds complacency. The hard-working generation that built wealth gives way to privileged descendants who take it for granted. Financial bubbles form as everyone bets on continued prosperity. The wealth gap widens as the rich use resources to expand their influence, creating dangerous divisions between haves and have-nots. Imagine building something magnificent only to watch it slowly crumble. This is the fate of every empire. The decline typically comes gradually, then suddenly. Usually from a combination of internal economic weakness, social conflict, and external challenges. When debts become unsustainable during economic downturns, countries almost always choose printing money over defaulting, devaluing their currency, and triggering inflation. Internal conflicts intensify between economic classes and between different ethnic, religious, and racial groups. Political extremism emerges from both left and right as established elites are blamed for mounting problems. Meanwhile, rising powers challenge the established order, especially during times of internal weakness. Military spending becomes increasingly burdensome as economic conditions deteriorate. Without peaceful means to resolve international disputes, conflicts escalate into tests of power. The final blow comes when faith in the empire's reserve currency and debt collapses, often triggering a rapid restructuring of the global order. Money isn't just currency, it's the lifeblood of power. All entities, from individuals to governments, operate under the same financial realities of income, expenses, assets, and liabilities. When spending exceeds earnings, savings deplete or borrowing increases. The long-term debt cycle typically plays out over 50 to 75 years, often surprising people when it reaches crisis points. These cycles begin with little debt and hard money like gold, evolve into paper claims on hard money, expand through credit creation, encounter debt crises, break links to hard money, and eventually lead to currency debasement. What's sobering is how consistently governments choose printing money over defaulting when crises hit. Of roughly 750 currencies that have existed since 1700, only about 20% remain, and all have been devalued. Even the world's major currencies from 1850 were completely different than today's. The dollar, pound, and Swiss franc existed then, but most important currencies of that era have died through hyperinflation, war deaths, or severe devaluation. Societies follow predictable patterns in how they organize themselves and distribute resources. These internal orders typically progress through six distinct stages, comparable to the progression of a disease. First comes new leadership consolidating power after conflict. Second, resource allocation systems and government bureaucracies are established. Third, peace and prosperity emerge with economic growth and rising living standards. Fourth, excesses develop in spending, debt, and wealth gaps. Fifth, financial conditions deteriorate and social conflicts intensify. Finally, civil wars or revolutions may erupt, restarting the cycle through violent restructuring. What makes this pattern so dangerous is our tendency to dismiss the possibility of severe internal conflict, especially after extended peaceful periods. Yet history shows that when wealth gaps widen beyond sustainable levels and economic conditions deteriorate for the majority, civil conflict becomes increasingly likely. These conflicts often escalate far beyond what participants would have considered possible beforehand, shocking even the most prepared observers. International relations operate on raw power rather than established rules. Unlike internal orders with clear laws and enforcement, external relations follow the law of the jungle, where powerful countries determine outcomes. Nations compete across five dimensions: trade/economic wars, technology wars, geopolitical influence, capital wars, and military conflicts. These struggles typically escalate in sequence, with all dimensions becoming weaponized once military conflict begins. The greatest risk emerges when opposing powers have comparable military capabilities and irreconcilable differences. World War II demonstrates how the confluence of money/credit cycles, internal disorder, and external conflict created conditions for catastrophic war and established a new world order. The Great Depression led countries toward populist, autocratic, nationalistic leaders. Economic warfare preceded military conflict, with tactics including asset freezes, capital market restrictions, and trade embargoes. During wartime, governments implement comprehensive economic controls, shifting resources from profit-making to war-making, making wealth protection nearly impossible as normal economic activities cease. Today, we're witnessing a classic power transition as China rises to challenge American dominance. The United States, roughly 70% through its big cycle, shows concerning signs of decline. Extreme political polarization, unsustainable debt levels, and declining competitiveness in key areas. Meanwhile, China has rapidly ascended from its lowest point in the 1940s to become a peer competitor, now roughly tied with the U.S. in trade, economic output, and innovation while rapidly advancing in military power. The competition spans trade, technology, geopolitics, finance, and potentially military confrontation. Taiwan represents the most dangerous flashpoint. Many Chinese strategists believe the U.S. will never allow peaceful reunification, while American policy remains deliberately ambiguous about its response to potential conflict. Cultural differences further complicate matters. Chinese culture traditionally favors top-down decision-making, collective interests, and hierarchical respect, while American culture demands bottom-up governance, champions personal freedom, and encourages revolutionary thinking. These differences become defining factors during serious conflicts or strategic negotiations.